You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Anthony Tonin with entertainment. Speaking of, morena Anthony, how are you today?
Tamaria, Rachel, I'm well. How are you?
Good. It's great to chat to you, and very exciting that we are just about a week shy of one of your shows on the tour that you're finally able to head off on celebrating this album. It's been a wee while in the making. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's surreal, isn't it?
What a year. What a life.
What a life indeed, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it hasn't been too long. I guess 9 months. I guess sometimes there are international releases that I listen to and then they come 9 months later, or maybe even a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it feels like the right time anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And the right venue as well, particularly here in Tamaki Makaurau. You're going to be playing at the Hollywood Avondale, which is just such a stunning venue to see live music in. But I think it's going to really suit the type of show you put on, Anthony, which is always building its own little world. And it's exciting because this is the first time in a wee while that you're going to be playing with a big band. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. We had our last rehearsal last night and been working in a theatre, and we had a lighting engineer there, and we've been creating a bigger and bigger spectacle as we've had more time to add things, I guess. The law of entropy. I'm really excited about the Hollywood, and I sort of had Hollywood in mind from the start. It's interesting. I had a chat with Jonathan, my producer, about what the band tour was going to be and what the difference was. I guess with the solo shows I've done in the last few years, like Synthesized Universe and Railland, they're immersive, but they're also sort of sit down. It's almost like a cinema experience where you have to you sit down and you watch for an hour and a half and then it's done. Jonathan said to me, look, think about this as an opportunity to actually have people, stand up, walk around, be a social occasion. And because you've got the power and dynamism of a band on a big stage, you can afford to let people be in a bit more of a celebratory mood, and
totally.
maybe bring some people from the office who are on the fence. I guess with some of the, like, a black box theatre show, you kind of have to be signed up when you sit down.
Totally, and that's such a special way to experience music. But I think also this, as you say, it's got its own type of magic, and it's a type of magic I think we've all really missed, because there is something you get about being able to, let loose a little bit in a crowd and watch live music kind of have a wall of sound come at you that I think all music fans have been starved of in the last couple of years. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing it happen, and particularly with this record, because you've crafted so many amazing narratives on each track, and you've just put out Lockheed Bomber, which is the most recent single. People who have the record on vinyl will have heard it, or the deluxe CD, but others might not have been able to get their ears around this yet. I want to hear a little bit about the story of this one, because it's quite an interesting moment in history.
Yeah, so it's about the Canberra air disaster, which is something I didn't know much about. And it's funny how these things that, and I'm sure we know it's true in reverse, that across the Tasman, significant things happen, and they might be on the news for a little while here in New Zealand, but then they're forgotten. They're not they're not collected in our collective memory. In 1940, a Lockheed bomber, which was transporting members of the government, crashed in Canberra. It was during the phony war period of World War II, when basically not much was happening. But it crashed with the Minister for Aviation, the War Minister, and the Chief of Staff of the government, and then a bunch of other probably very important bureaucrats as well. And it actually brought down the Menzies government in Australia.
Wow.
It led to the creation of the Liberal Party, of all things.
Wow.
It was a terrible tragedy in Australia. But also, I got interested in James Fairbairn, the Minister for Aviation, because he was emblematic of a generation in the early 20th century that were becoming obsessed with aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came from a pastoral family, a quite wealthy farming background, owned sheep stations and things, and you know, almost like a Howard Hughes kind of character.
Totally.
Just got really obsessed, bought lots of aircraft. And a lot of these people who did this, a lot of them died because it was it was the Wild West. You there weren't any rules for how to fly around your own aircraft at that time. And the Lockheed bombers they had a design flaw that meant they could stall upon landing, and
so
you had to be quite well trained to kind of counteract that possibility when you landed the plane. And there's some speculation, and it's only speculation, that that Fairburn might have wanted to have a go, and may have actually been behind the controls when the plane crashed.
Gosh, it's such a, as you say, it's such an interesting window into a little bit of history. It's one of those things. I've heard of it, but I couldn't have told you anything about it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, Canberra air disaster is something I have definitely heard of, and that's about it. But what an enormously significant moment in time. And as you say, kind of significant and interesting for the way people interact with technology and how everyone was sort of in that particular moment of war or phony war at that particular time as well. It's a fascinating little window, and I think that's what I love about your music, Anthony, is you're always opening these windows into parts of history or parts of the world that maybe people haven't looked through before. And I think that when you see that in a live performance, the Railland tours were such a good example of that, you're able to engage with these things that in your day-to-day life might just pass you by quite quickly, and it really sits with you for a while afterwards, I think. And I'm so excited to see this album celebrated on a big stage. Who is your big band? Who's going to be coming with you?
So we've got our longtime drummer, Stuart Howard. He's been in the band ever since I moved to Auckland and released Up Here for Dancing. We've got David Fludger. He was on the Successor album tour a few years ago now. And then with Jonathan permanently on tour with the Beths.
Yes.
We've got a friend of mine, Sam Taylor, who is playing guitar. And I toured with him with Nadia Reed. He's Nadia Reed's guitarist.
Cool.
And he's sort of the chaos element that Jonathan was. Like, Jonathan had the special privilege of being allowed to play the songs differently if he wanted to. and it took me a while to realise when we rebuilt the band show, probably starting in about 2018, that I couldn't carefully plan everything, that there was a special magic to Jonathan being allowed to change it. And so Sam, being a great jazz guitarist, and I've seen him play lots of times with Nadia Reed and never play exactly the same way. He sort of has that role.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brooke Singer, a good old friend, French for Rabbits leader and fellow South Islander that Stu and I have known for years and years, going back to, you know, our first little indie shows in Dunedin. She's joined the band and become... a hybrid human robot with me and particularly Stu. Sort of me, Stu and Brooke are all sort of RoboCops.
Nice. Nice.
So she's sort of controlling. We've got two deluges and three keyboards on stage, and she's playing those things most of the time. Occasionally I jump on them, but she's sort of taken a lot of the synth playing that I would normally do in my solo shows, and then the bits that I can't get to in the solo shows as well.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like an all-star cast then, and I'm excited to see two deluges on the stage and other bits and pieces as well. That's a strong draw card if ever there was. I think we should have a listen to Lockheed Bomber now, Anthony, and we can catch you here in Tamaki Makaurau in just over a week on the 14th of May, as we mentioned, at the gorgeous Hollywood Avondale. And you kick off your tour this week on Friday down in Christchurch, playing at Loons as well. So enjoy that, and we'll see you when you get up here.
Oh, thanks so much, Rachel. Great to talk to you.
Kia ora, always a pleasure.
Kia ora.
Mark II bomber. From Melbourne to Canberra, and from the air you wouldn't know that the world is at war. Just another mild winter, the snow surrenders from the highest hills. And how did you get here? From a dream you left the farm for, to the sky you got. Boys at your command. And this morning you rang for yourself and the war minister, the chief of staff and the people around you, to make the trip in a beautiful new plane from the USA. You've been waiting to get your hands on the waiting to Canberra to talk about. When you were 20 years old and shot down, only a buggered arm to tail, you knew it couldn't always end so well, meeting the ground. But once you have your wings, it's hard to keep your head down. You ran for office in your district, you put an airstrip on the farm, and you told your brother to fly, he told his wife, and she flew them on a Sunday in 35, right into the ground. Another war to give it its wings, and you've got boys in England ready to do anything like you were when you were 17. What will you see? What will you see when the plane comes down? You believe in God, but you really fear the ground. What will you see? What will you see when the plane comes down? You believe in God, but you really fear the ground.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.